Hello, my name is Matthew McKenzie, an unpaid carer of many years caring for someone with mental illness. You are listening to, I think, number 10 out of, I suppose, 60 in a series of motivational carer talks. Now, these audios seek to help unpaid carers find some form of hope in their role as a carer. Hence, a carer is someone who is not a care worker, but is looking after someone in the family, or a close friend or neighbor even. The structure of this audio and the previous audios is that I will talk about a given topic that affects unpaid carers in their role. And then within a few minutes of after that talk, I will move on to something more motivational and therapeutic on that subject matter, which is aimed at carers listening. Now, the topic for this audio is coping through grief as a carer. So, as you can tell by the subject matter, if you feel it to be a bit much, certainly do pause or stop the audio. It's not a subject matter to be taken lightly, as I do know many carers are going through a difficult time, especially with grief. But still, it's a topic that should be talked about, because if you are caring for someone, then it certainly does help to understand what grief is and how to deal with it. Now, from what I've known about grief, and trust me, I've not gone through it myself, only in certain ways, and I'll get onto that. I think it's basically grief is a response to loss, particularly if you've lost someone, someone's moved on, someone has died, for who you've been caring for some time, perhaps, or maybe not long enough, as some carers could feel. Although it's grief is what we call an emotional response to loss. So if you remember that, it's an emotional response to it. It is still a natural reaction to the loss of someone to who a carer could feel connected or attached to. And the reason I specifically pointed out that it's natural is that I often do worry about male carers, and how they deal with grief or even loss, as they might, from my experience anyway, quite a few of them will think that it's some kind of weakness, but it's anything but that. Still, although grief is commonly just attributed to the loss of someone, it can be attached to also major life changes as well, because it can come with, I'd say, or what I've known is conflicting emotions. And I would say those emotions would probably be, let's say, in the extreme, hence sadness and isolation. I suppose a good example would be observing, the person you love, or who you care for, literally suffer with chronic mental illness, and you're watching them completely relapse, and that can lead on to grief. Why not? I would say, there's another term that I've noticed, and there's a term called gradual loss of someone perhaps dying from Alzheimer's, and I think that one's called gradual grief. So it's a wide term. Yeah, it can be definitely attributed to the loss of someone. But it does show, because it deals with the emotional response, it can be attributed to other things as well. Although mainly a lot of people say it definitely is focused on the death of someone. Especially because we know, unfortunately, death is permanent. And that's why people use the term grief for that. As with other things, when grief is attributed to something else, like a major life change or a major loss, it doesn't have to be permanent. So as I mentioned, when it comes to conflicting emotions, this is actually one of the feelings someone feels or a carer feels when that person has moved on due to succumbing to perhaps the illness. And sometimes, carers or anyone can even feel, and it might seem odd, but yeah, it's true, they can even feel a sense of relief. They can feel relief that the person they loved and that they cared for is no longer suffering that pain that they were watching them go through. And it can also feel that carers can feel frustrated that they have to stand by and almost feel helpless when they see the person that they care for is going through stages of moving on, and they can see it. So yes, there is conflicting emotions, and that was, how can someone suffer relief and yet extreme sadness and be depressed and angry all at the same time, or even if not at the same time, it's in quick succession. Moving on from that, there has been a lot of research done on grief. I don't know if you've heard about it, but when I do go to some events run by the NHS on the subject matter of grief, they do mention the five stages of grief, which I find quite helpful. And I will quickly describe to you, even if you know it already, I'm sure other carers might find it useful. So if you had gone through the stages of grief, which I'm going to describe, the first stage would be, and it makes sense, I think, the first stage would be denial. Hence, you learn of the loss straight away, and you feel, well, hang on, this can't really be happening. It's like, I could say it's something that you're not really being warned about or expected. So obviously you will be in denial of it. The next stage, and I believe there's five stages, would be anger. And that's when it all settles in. That's when reality sets in. And you can't deny it anymore. You begin to suffer the pain of the loss. And again, if you are angry and frustrated at watching your loved one succumb to the illness, then you're certainly would be frustrated and helpless now. And if you're angry that it's finally happened. The third stage is the bargaining stage, where you come to think back, and I will cover this in this audio. You will literally look back and dwell on the past, thinking, what could you have done, in order to prevent what had happened. So you begin to question yourself. You begin to see if there was ways out of it. And then eventually, the fourth stage will be the emotion of depression. Hence, you begin to really now understand the pain of loss and the effect it has on you, and on others that are close to that person you're caring for. The final stage is actually, I think the term is acceptance, where you begin to face the reality of the loss, and you know that it can't be changed now. It's happened, really. And I think in some sense, this is where I hope many carers who have, who are going through grief or may go through grief, reach that stage, because, and I will describe it later on in the audio, acceptance is a healthy thing to have. It's not that you've forgotten the person that you cared for, but you accept their passing. Now, usually I don't often quote sources, but I think on this audio, I think it's quite important to do so. I'm hugely connected to a lot of national care organizations, and one of them is Carers Trust. So I thought, let me have a look to see what they say on the subject. Because as we all know, this is something carers will have to face. And it says here, it says, I'm looking at the site now, it says bereavement brings a number of different losses to carers. As you know, carers trust raises awareness and also certainly does a lot of battling on behalf of carers. And it says here, anyway, it says the loss of the person and the relationship you had with them, that's how bereavement affects the carer. It also correctly says that as a carer, the effect bereavement has is that the carer will lose that role, and there's a risk of them now losing the purpose and the identity that it had given the carer, which again is correct. And I won't stay on the site too long. I think the last thing I'm going to mention, what Carers Trust says, is that there is now a disconnection, in the sense that some things that the carer have, you know, has given up, or has lost, could be now including losing touch with friends, or even work. And there's a risk of that if that has not happened already, on how bereavement affects the carer. So basically, it's not just loss of the person that the carer is caring for, but loss of many things. The carer even begins to feel even more isolated. So about dealing with grief, I don't think it's always important to raise the understanding of grief. How can one actually deal with it? That hence the title of this audio. And I think the most important thing really is because grief is at its heart dealing with emotions, and these emotions can be depression, anger, frustration. It's important to realize that you are going through the emotion. Sometimes they can hit a carer so hard that the carer doesn't even have time to realize that they are going through grief. It's that hard. But it's also important to know that you must try and deal with those emotions. And it's important to know carers need to do this, because if grief is left untreated too long, it can result in major depression, or dare I say it, alcohol misuse. You know, there's no reason why a person does not want to go through any more sadness, any more tears. They'll begin to look for means to cope. So the reason I say this is because grief affects people differently, and of course, dealing with grief, people will deal with it differently. So dealing with grief, for a start, self-care is, I would say, the number one way of dealing with grief. Just looking after yourself, you know, getting plenty of sleep if you need it. And I'm sure sleep, you know, is one of the great healing things, you know, anyone can have when they are suffering through loss. Eating healthily is another thing. And remember, these things, when you turn to them, they're not going to harm you. As if you're dealing with grief, you know, if you try the alcohol or the drug misuse, they will harm you. But getting sleep, getting plenty of sleep, eating healthily, and also if you can, moderate exercise, you know, going for a walk, to even clear your head just for that moment, it certainly counts. And also important thing, which is not really, I wouldn't say it's easy, but if you can, or if carers can, I suppose, surround themselves with supportive friends. And the reason why I'm saying that's not easy, because when you are caring, carers tend to lose friends. They just don't want to know. They don't want to be around a depressing situation. And also surround yourself, or carers should surround yourself with family. Obviously, when someone moves on, the family, it affects the family as well. I'd be surprised if it didn't. Although I've got to admit, all families tend to function differently. So surrounding yourself with people can help in dealing with grief. And, you know, it doesn't have to be friends or family. It can, you know, there can be groups. Certainly look on the internet or go for carers trust. There can be groups that deal with former carers or anyone suffering through the stages of grief. Even, you know, a senior doctor, they might know of it, of places where you can connect to. So, okay, that's my view on dealing with grief. There's a whole lot more. I mean, what does the NHS say in dealing with grief? And, you know, it's going to be similar. You know, NHS feels that if you're going through grief, they feel that peer support is crucial in dealing with grief, which is something that I'm trying to do now in my role, trying to build peer support groups. In fact, I'm slowly doing some. By the time of this audio, I'll be starting some next year. Certainly, again, if you are going to access peer support groups, or if you are on peer support groups now, certainly, again, ask at your local care center when they're running. The NHS also recommends, again, sleeping well, eating well, and also building resilience. Not building ignorance, but resilience. And from my view, I think that there really isn't a time limit on grieving. You know, for a person grieving in a month, they could still be grieving almost 2 years at a time, but not in the same way. Not, you know, it could be something that, unfortunately, they're walking down the road and they see something that reminds them of the person they used to care for. It might be a favorite set of clothes, I don't know, or flower, or a particular smell, and that brings on all emotions flooding back. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Well, grieving can be a natural process, but one has to be careful how long these emotions that they have to deal with, not to ignore them, but to find way of dealing with them. So, okay, it's not an easy audio. I thank you for getting this far. I'm going to now move on to the section where it's going to be more a way of reflection, healing and thought. And I'm starting this in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Well, I'd like to say thank you for getting this far. And welcome to the motivational section of this audio on dealing with grief. As you might already know, this part of the audio, I'm actually speaking directly to carers or former carers, or even particularly a carer actually going through grief now. Hence, I'm speaking directly to you. And because if you are a carer going through grief, I cannot possibly imagine how difficult it can be. But I do know this. You gave it your all when you cared for them. Perhaps I could be some guide into at least getting through grief. You know, in a way, to say that former carers have been fighting the good fight in supporting someone close to them. It is a moment we dread when we know we all will become that former carer. But if you was not there fighting that good fight, then what could that person have done without you? I know you are here listening to this because you are seeking at least some understanding, some help in coping with grief. And I hope I have been able to give some insight into this. even though the subject matter is challenging and emotional. And I congratulate you into looking for a way to deal with grief, and hope you find ways to get through a difficult period in anyone's life. I would just like to tell you that you are a good person for all that you have done and are going to do. And we all want what is best for you. It might be hard for you now if going through grief. Yes, it might be difficult. Even if your grief is not showing, because many carers, myself including, are often looking back and questioning, what if? Just because the person we loved has gone does not mean we are to blame for this. Since for all of us to feel safe and healthy, we need to be part of a community. No one should have to care in isolation and struggle like you have, like myself, like many unpaid carers around the country. We should not, in fact, we cannot blame ourselves, and you should not blame yourself. You are only doing what comes naturally, and that is care. That is give a damn about the person you saw was suffering, and you were there to prevent things getting worse. If there is anything to look back on in life, it is that. I would like you to think about all the things I have said through the educational section of the audio, or play it again. Think about looking after yourself. Get some rest. This is not an order. I just want you to think about it after listening to all of this. The reason is not because those very things can help you. But I know someone out there needs you. Someone out there wants you to get through this. It could be family, someone that you are even close with, even those at work, you know, we'd be surprised. I'm hoping no one is truly alone. Even if we think we are, there is always a surprise, because that's what life is all about. Surprises and experiences. There will come a day when you are glad you are coping through grief. But I know you will never forget that special person you cared for. Because it's not about forgetting. It's about coping. And remembering the journey of caring and sharing those experiences. But there is still much to do. I just want you to rest for now. Think of the future. And take care of yourself. Thank you for listening to my audio. I hope to bring out another one when I'm not so busy. And I'm sure I will do anyway. And please spread the word of these audios. I feel carers do not get enough mental health support for themselves. We are the silent voices, so often drowned out by so many things carers have to battle against. So stick with me. Please again, spread the word. Thank you for listening, and I'll see you again soon.